Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1386. This is your host, Danny Pena, and also joining me on the last episode of GTR, we got Paris here. What's up, Paris?
Wow, it's the last episode of GTR. I didn't know we were ending it.
Of this year.
See, there you go.
Of this year.
Good didn't morning. I say this How year? You doing? No, you did not. You said this is God. The last episode of Gamertag.
Ever. Never going to hear us again. Nah. Game of the year episode type thing, you know.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
It's gonna be a good episode. I think it's gonna be cool. Actually, I'm planning to get recording from Ree. I don't know if we're gonna get someone with Pete. I'm not 100% sure, but I know Ree's gonna give us like her honorable mentions, her top five, all that stuff, you know. So, but Paris, before we go to our game of the year, man, overall for you, 2024 overall gaming wise, as a fan of games, your thoughts.
I mean, solid year. I mean, 2023 was just crazy because we got so many games all dumped into one year. But I think this, you know, it was really good. It was a good year of games. I think there was a nice distribution throughout the year. Like, I always felt like there was something new I wanted to play on the horizon. So we didn't really have any big dry spells during the year. So, no, it was a good year. Good year game.
Yeah, I mean, as a consumer, I think it's been a great, great year when it comes to that. There was a lot of surprises, I think, this year than previous years. A lot of surprises when it comes to, like, games that we never expected was going to be that good. Also, from the dev side, industry side, a lot of changes, a lot of layoffs, which is terrible, you know. But hopefully next year will be a lot better when it comes to that, people getting new jobs. But here's the thing, what I see. I see in 2025, I can see more people creating their own studio independently, I think, more than ever. I think there's gonna be a lot of that in the future, more than, you don't think so? I personally think so.
Let me be clear, I made the face because I agree with you in the concept of I would love to see it. I just think the current state of the industry with funding and everything, it's kind of rough trying to start a new independent studio right now.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what happens, you know, after the next year, but I could potentially see that. I mean, there's a lot of people that I met throughout the year that they said they were going to go on that route. But hey, we'll see if it's going to be successful or not. I hope so. Yeah. Another thing I was going to ask you, Paris, was there any surprises? Not honorable mentions, not game of the year. Were there any surprises for you that you were like, wow, I was not expecting this game to be this good? Was there anything like that for you? Because there was a couple for me.
I mean, definitely. One of them is in my game of the year. I mean, I don't know if you want me to.
No, don't say it yet.
No, okay, but okay. One of them is in my game of the year top five. Was a huge surprise for me. I didn't think it would be as good as it was. Yeah, I mean, I'll say this one. I mean, The Plucky Squire. I mean, it was something that I was really anticipating for a while. But I think the way that they were able to pull off the 2D into the 3D seamlessly with some of the puzzle elements and that were a part of that game was a fun surprise for me. You know, a game that actually surprised me, and I guess it shouldn't, but it did. That new Mario Party. That game is fun.
Yeah,
as hell.
You know what? I mean, Mario Party has always been fun, but I always been like, yeah, it's Mario Party, you know. But this one is actually pretty good. Yeah. It's actually my wife and my mother-in-law, they both played Mario Party. It was actually pretty fun seeing that, man. It was really cool.
So I do have to admit one thing while we're in here, because it's not in my top five.
Okay.
But I have to say that now that I have completed Indiana Jones and the Great Circle, while the complaints that I had are still valid, goddamn, that was a great story.
God damn,
it was so freaking good. It was so good. Like, you know, I've been saying 7 out of 10. I'd almost be willing to put it up to an 8 just because of that. I mean, look, the AI is dumb as bricks. It just is. I, again, I'm not trying to turn this into a complaint thing. The stuff that I talked about is valid, but the performances were so good. And that story is so good. I get it. I get why people are potentially saying it's their game of the year and why people are so high on it. I totally get it. But yeah, you play that from start to finish. That story is fantastic. It's just, it is, like I even said in the original, you know, review, it's the third best Indiana Jones story we've had of the movies. Like, if this was a movie, people would absolutely love it.
Yeah, I mean, I love the game. Like, the story is fantastic. It's one of the best stories in a very long time. Actually, yeah, third best story, Indiana Jones story, 100%. I mean, I mentioned the review. It's better than the two last Indiana Jones movie. Way better. Way better. But I still have issues with the combat. It's like a hit or miss. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You know, like you say, AI, still there. But I think overall, there was more good than bad, in my opinion.
When it comes to that, and I think that's what it comes down to. It's like, it just, that it... While all those things are valid, and here's the thing about this, and then we'll move on. I think all the high scores are valid, but I think even the low scores and the criticisms are valid too. It's just one of those games. Whereas, what do you want to take out of it is how you're going to judge it. If you're looking at this as it's Indiana Jones, Troy Baker knocking out of the park, great story, great puzzle elements, global adventure, you're going to love it. Because I forget who said it, and we're at the Game Awards, we were talking about this, told me, he was like, while not everyone's going to view it this way, if you go back to the original movies, it's kind of the gameplay issues fall right into kind of the comedy and the cheese of the original movies, if you think of it that way. So it almost plays into it. Well, then look, I don't think that's 100% valid. Like, that's how you should view the game. But I get it. Like, I was like, you know what? I get it. I can see that. So, yeah, I just want to say that on the record that, hey, look, it's fantastic. Definitely go play it. If you've not played it, it is absolutely worth your time.
Now, one last thing before we go to the top five or anything. It's crazy. Paris, like, we haven't recorded in so long mm-hmm. to talk about these things. Everything has been like hands on or interviews and so on. And again, this happened this year. So I just want to like get your thoughts about it. This is an Xbox conversation, like the marketing, the, you know, different point of views from people, the good, the bad from like the gamers. I personally think is a very smart way to market, and it's catchy. Like, it kind of reminded me of like that early 2000s, the 90s type of marketing, you know, catchy, the font, the, you know, the phrase, all that stuff, catchphrase. I just love the messaging when it comes to that stuff, right? And I see where Xbox is going with this, especially in the future where, you know, you're going to get to play Xbox in all devices. I think it's a pretty good thing. But do you, Paris, we haven't talked about this, so I want to mention it, talk about it before we start our top five. Like, for you, what is like your thoughts about this overall? Because I think it's a great thing. It's going to open the doors to get more people to get into the ecosystem and play, you know, Xbox games overall.
So I've been itching to talk about this because we actually got to take this back a calendar year. So a year ago, we obviously started hearing rumors about 4 games and Hi-Fi Rush and all these things potentially going on the PlayStation and Switch and all that. And at the time, it was like, really? I don't know if they're going to do that. Okay, maybe they're going to experiment with something. Obviously, the rumors got to the point where the Xbox leadership had to do an emergency business update podcast, however you want to call it. And they addressed at that time, it's just these 4 games. They want to see what happens. Even then you're thinking, okay, not everything's going to go. They're going to experiment with some older titles, put them on PlayStation and Switch and see what happens. Right. Then we got to the June showcase. It escalated a little more. Then we got to Gamescom. We obviously saw Indiana Jones coming to PlayStation 5. Then we've seen some interviews since with Matt Booty and Phil Spencer. No red lines, case-by-case basis, all these things. I want to say, for the record, I have absolutely put my foot in my mouth over the past 12 months with this because I didn't think it was going here. I did not think this. So for that, I was wrong. People that want to clip me and criticize me, totally valid. But here's the reality of everything. This is an Xbox marketing strategy, all of that. They are no longer going to be tied to just the console. And in reality, they haven't been for years because they've obviously been putting their games day and date on PC. I've been saying it past few months. Business of gaming is changing. They're being extremely aggressive with it. Not everyone. Look, old heads like us, legacy people, we're not going to be happy about it. We're just not. That because we're used to the old model of you buy the console, there's games that are exclusive on it. That's the reason you buy the console and you go from there. Xbox is obviously looking at this and saying that's no longer what we're going to do. They've been third place as far as hardware goes for a while. They've realized they are not going to catch up with the old model. They're not going to be the market leaders. They've obviously invested $80, $90 billion into acquiring Bethesda and Activision. You obviously got to recoup that cost. I'm assuming they've determined they cannot recoup that cost by just going with the old model. They need to be aggressive. They need to expand. The other part of this, the new generation, you are a parent now. I've been a parent for a while. I have used my kids as the test case all the time. They don't care. They literally don't care about brand loyalty. That don't matter to them. They want convenience on where they play. That's all they care about. My kids, hardcore into Fortnite. They play Fortnite on everything. And I think in a weird way, that's kind of where Xbox is headed with this. Xbox is basically saying, we're not going to stop making hardware. We will have a reference model of a console that will go into the next generation. It sounds like with rumors, potentially third-party companies are going to be able to make Xbox hardware. Obviously, we know the handheld's going to be a thing. Again, I'm going to CES. This is going to be something we'll obviously see what Lenovo is doing. It's changing. Games are going to come to PlayStation and Switch, whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, whether I think Halo or Gears should be on a PlayStation, I think they eventually will be. It sounds like from the Matt Booty interview, not everything will be day and date because it comes down if the studio can do it. If again, we're seeing an example with id with the next Doom, this can be day and date on PlayStation because they're able to do it. Whereas another studio, like Machine Games with Indiana Jones, maybe they couldn't have Indiana Jones ready day and date on PlayStation. So you're going to see basically timed exclusivity on Xbox until they can get the PlayStation version ready. And then obviously Switch 2 is coming. What games are going to be there? The whole point on this is to wrap it up. Xbox is no longer going to do the classic exclusive with their games tied to their hardware. They're going to make hardware, but up to you if you want to buy it. That's not their thing anymore. They're like, if you want to buy an Xbox console, we'll give it to you. If you don't, you want to play on PC, cool. If you want to wait till the game shows up on PlayStation, cool. Switch, cool. Handheld, cool. You want to get it on Steam, cool. But whatever. That's where they're headed. Whether we like it or not, my only thing on it is I get there's very loud voices online. People get mad at me with this every day. But it's happening. So let's see how it plays out at this point. At this point, just accept that it's happening. Let's see how it plays out. You can pull the old clips of me talking about Game Pass exclusivity and all these things. I was wrong because the business model changed and the stuff that I've said in the past is wrong. So you go with what, because again, I ain't no insider. I don't know nothing. I just go on what I see. And this is what I see now. If you pay attention to what they've been saying over the past 12 months, it's pretty clear where they're headed with Xbox. So let's see how it plays out. The main thing to take out of all of this, a bunch of great games are on the way. And I think ultimately that's the play that they're going for. They're like, look, we're arguably the biggest publisher in the world now. I know Tencent might be, but they're number one or number two at this point. And now's the time that they need to start delivering great games. And they're basically saying, we don't care where you play them. We're just going to give them to you. You're going to have Game Pass as a part of it. Handhelds are going to be a part of it. Multiple digital stores are going to be a part of it. Here we go. 2025 is going to be a very fascinating year to see how Xbox cements this message of basically every device is an Xbox now. So let's see.
Yeah, well, I agree with you.
I hope someone clips this so I don't have to say this again. Clip it and put it online because I don't want to repeat this again.
And tag him. Tag Paris.
Yes.
No, but you know what's funny, Paris? Like, I could also see this for the future. And I know there's been rumors online too about this where imagine we got the Xbox handheld or console, whatever, in the future. We have it at home. We're playing Xbox. Hey, want to play Steam? Let's load up the Steam app or the Epic Games Store app from the console or from the handheld and just play like that instead of switching to like a computer, you know, a laptop or PC. I could definitely see that, man. Like I could definitely see where Xbox, Valve, Epic, a bunch of other companies are partnering up and doing these type of things to get a new crowd of people. One, you know, I know Steam had like their Steam machines and all that back in the days. I think it was like they were ahead of their time when it comes to that, a console, but it just didn't work out because, like you said, working with other companies, there were so many different prices. Like everybody was confused, like which one is the right one, which one I should buy. It was just confusing. I had one from Alienware and I loved it. I discovered a lot of new games, a lot of indie games that was only available on Steam and it wasn't on console. You know, but if Xbox could do this right, I think this could be a pretty big move for the company where, you know what, let's have our partners have their apps there and we're going to have our ecosystem in there too. And people will play. Easy. Load it up. And believe it or not, a lot of companies would love to get a whole new audience that doesn't have a PC, but they have a console. Get them into their ecosystem on Steam or Epic. And now there's an opportunity to sell their games through you know, console players. You get what I'm saying? Like, I think that would be cool. And I think that's a great move. Great, great move. Because not everybody can afford a PC. So I think this will be like another opportunity that no other company, no PlayStation or Nintendo, they're not doing that at all. And this will be an opportunity for Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, someone, and I'm forgetting who said it, so I apologize, but I was just watching someone talking about this, and they had even said, as far as Xbox continuing to make hardware, I'm like, look, if there's 20 million people out there that still want an Xbox, they're going to make an Xbox for those 20 million people. Obviously, it's not going to compete with whatever Switch or PlayStation is doing from a number standpoint, but there's still going to be people that want that box that's sitting under their television that they just press a button and they play the games, right? Sure. We're going to run into a thing where not every third party game is going to be on that device, right? Obviously, PlayStation games are not going to be on that device, but if Xbox makes enough compelling games that, and let's say it's reasonably priced, it's $399 or something like that, I can stick it under my TV and I press the button and I just play it. Couple that with Game Pass, there are going to be people that still want to do that. Again, with the rumors about them potentially opening up Xbox to third-party vendors, Microsoft, kind of like with the Surface. Surface is basically a reference model for Windows, right? Like, here's hardware that Microsoft recommends, the specs, all that. You can then have an Asus, an Acer, or Lenovo, whoever, making their reference model Xboxes that they're probably more expensive, but they run at a higher reference point, you know, frames per second, all these things, right? So that seems to be where they're going. Again, you're going to have your PC stuff, but you're still going to have stuff that sits under the TV. You're going to have these handhelds. It sounds like they're going to open it up so that, sure, you'll have the quote-unquote Xbox or Windows Store on these devices, but you'll also have Steam on there as well. You also have the Epic Store in there as well, potentially. Like I said, I ain't smart enough to know if this is going to work. All I know is this is what they're about to do. So let's see how it plays out versus sticking our heads in the sand and pretending it's not going to happen and going, because what I see is people going, well, I'm mad now. I'm not buying an Xbox. I think they're okay with this because if you still want to play Fable, you still want to play Gears, Indiana Jones 12 or whatever, you're still going to go buy those games. So you're still investing in their ecosystem. That's what I see. I'm not saying this is right. I'm just saying this is what it looks like they're doing. So let's see how it plays out over the next 24 months or so as we go into the next generation of games. And hey, maybe it works. Maybe it doesn't, you know, but this is clearly the strategy that they're taking. So let's see.
Hey, look, and we mentioned this a long time ago, Paris. I can see PlayStation now porting games on Xbox. There's a rumor going on now that Lego Horizon, I forgot the name, Lego Horizon game, is rumored is going to be ported on Xbox. Here's the thing. That's a great thing because at the end of the day, I think the old way of just having it as an exclusive for that console, just only for that console and that's it, that's the old formula. People have to understand that developing games, marketing games, all that is so expensive now more than ever. So the way how companies will make their money back, they have to do things like this, have it released on PC, on other places, also on console. Like, where was this whole group of people that got mad that Xbox was making this move back when this conversation started earlier this year? Where were they when they saw that Lego Horizons also coming out on the Switch and potentially now Xbox, you know, like, I personally think it's a good thing. The business is changing and we have to get used to it. It's not going to go back to the old way, man. Now, like you said, it might come out in one console and then months later somewhere else, you know, but things are changing, man. And we got to get used to it overall.
No, they are. No matter what. You know, I had jumped on kind of funny earlier this week and basically said somewhat similar things. I know people got a little mad at me in the comments because I brought up Nintendo and I was like, we're always like, oh, Nintendo don't count. They're doing their thing. Just that Nintendo's Nintendo. But let's not forget, it was only 8 years ago where the Wii U was a colossal disaster for Nintendo. And it was the Switch that basically completely turned everything about around. Like, I will tell people, do your research. Go back and look at the history of Nintendo. It has not always been mega hits with Nintendo. I mean, sure, the NES kicked it all off, but the Super Nintendo did not sell as well as the NES. The N64 did not sell as well. The GameCube did not sell as well. The Wii was a big hit. Then the Wii U was a disaster. And then obviously the Switch is doing monster numbers. And we'll see, obviously, continuing this with the Switch too. But it can flip in a generation is the point that I'm trying to make. Whereas, sure, this current model might be the way that is working now, but that isn't 100% guarantee it's going to work next time. So going to everything that you're saying, clearly Microsoft is reading the tea leaves and going, look, going down this current path that we're doing, we're not getting the return on investment that we're looking for. Another thing that factors into a lot of this is long as development times, rising costs with these games. I know, I think Matt Booty even said that it leaked out that, hey, they need shorter development times. They need to make smaller experiences. And we'll obviously get into some of this with our Game of the Year discussion. But the model's starting to get out of control. We've obviously seen massive layoffs, all these things. The other thing that plays into this is time. Like I just mentioned, my kids play Fortnite. That's what they play. Think about me and Pete a few years ago. What did we play?
Nonstop.
And that was it. And that was it. I wasn't playing nothing else. But that's the point. You can put out all these games, but if one game is, there's only so much time that you have. All these games are fighting. The biggest resource that we have is time. And if my time is being taken up by one particular game, I don't care how great these other games are. I ain't going to play them because I'm playing this, because that's where all my time is going. You see what I'm saying? So excuse me again. That factors into a lot of this stuff and how the industry is going to have to readjust to that, because these live service games that demand hundreds of hours of your time is what has disrupted the industry. And only the tippity top of those actually succeed. Clearly, we got an example of that this year with Concord. Obviously, one of the biggest flops in gaming history. I mean, a game lasted 10 days and was gone. Insane. So all I'm saying is, you know, we've been doing this a long time. We obviously try to look at the industry and, you know, give our opinions and kind of predict where thing is headed. Look, like I said, 12 months ago, didn't think this was happening. So I will eat my delicious crow. Look, I like to smoke my crow. I like to smoke it, put a nice rub on it, low and slow, 220, you know, for about 5 hours. It's delicious. But I eat my crow because obviously I didn't see this coming a year ago. But here we are. And let's just see where it goes.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen at CES and on, you know, like the changes we're going to get to see and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And hopefully we can talk more about this in 2025, Paris.
I have a strong feeling that we will be continuing to talk about this. Yeah. Here's what I'll say before we go into Game of the Year stuff. And another reason I'm excited to go to CES, I didn't even realize that Lenovo was doing the press briefing with Valve, and Jason Ronald from Xbox is going to be there as well. That's going to kind of give us a peek into where some of this is headed. I know Jez and Tom Warren and a few other people have been saying that by the end of January, this is an Xbox is going to make a lot more sense. So something's happening. What it is, I'm not 100% sure. There's crazy rumors, obviously all that, but I personally think, and I might be eating some more crow, but I think Xbox is about to do something very disruptive. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Ooh, this is good because, you know, it's happening during our 20th anniversary. So, you know,
yeah,
you know, all this, all these conversations we're gonna get to see. So that's pretty cool. Really, really cool. All right, so let's go with our games of the year, Paris.
Yeah, yep. Let's do it.
So what I'm going to do is I'm also going to be playing audio from Ree, potentially Pete. I don't know. We'll see. Also during the conversation. So their audio is going to be recorded, not live here. But but let's go with honorable mentions, Paris. Game of the year 2024. I actually have three honorable mentions. Not my game of the year, but I got to give them props because I personally had a great time playing these games. So My first out of the three honorable mentions is Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I remember playing this for the first time. I think it was last year, Summer Game Fest 4/ Ubisoft event that they had, a hands-on event. And I had a great, great time with the game. I love the cast that they have in there, the way how you play, kind of like a Metroidvania type of game. I had an amazing, amazing time. Plus, all the features in there for accessibility. Really, really high up there. It's just sad that, you know, seeing the numbers where not a lot of people give it an opportunity. It came out in January of this year. And, you know, I'm glad that it got some type of award during the Game Awards. But I think I think this is a game that people should definitely check it out, no matter what, if it's on Switch, Xbox, PlayStation, also on Steam. It's everywhere. So this is a great game to play on a handheld, by the way. Great, great game. Another one that I really enjoyed, not game of the year for me, but I had a great time playing it, Black Myth Wukong. That game is tough as hell. Love the intro. Really, really cool. I also glad to see that this type of game got nominated, also won one or two awards at the Game Awards. Really, really cool to see that. This game is a lot of fun. I think people should definitely check it out. Now, it's not an Elden Ring type of game, but it's not like open world or anything like that, you know? So semi-open world, I will say. Semi, maybe? I don't know. And also one last game that I really, really enjoyed. And I'm glad that this came out date-to-date with the console version. Helldivers 2. Love the way how social media, how they were promoting it through there too. Love the game. It's a lot of fun playing with friends, four players and all that. So it's a lot of fun. I wish this game also come on other consoles, because this game is one of the best multiplayer games that I've seen from PlayStation in a very long time. So people should definitely check this out on Steam or on PlayStation 5. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Now, Paris, let me hear your honorable mentions for you for this.
So, first one I would mention is Dungeons of Hindenburg. It's a game that was, you could play it on Game Pass, indie game. I thought it was fantastic. I loved it. I love those type of games. The going into some of those dungeons and just the exploration that you do around the town, the social aspects of it with the conversations that you'll have with some of the NPCs. It was a lot of fun. I mean, again, shorter experience, you know, in and out, wasn't too crazy difficult, but it was just a fun time. I know that a lot, that probably won't be on a lot of people's list, but to me, that was like one of those hidden gems that you don't hear enough about that I definitely think people should check out for sure. The other one I mentioned already was the Plucky Squire. I loved it. I just love the game for everything that I already talked about. Like I said, that one, I think if you do top 10 lists, it's probably going to be kind of at the back end of a top 10. But I loved it. I love, obviously, just the visuals, the art style, the 2D to the 3D that they were able to do. Fantastic game that I believe if you have PlayStation Plus, I forget which tier, but one of the PlayStation Plus tiers, you can play for free on there. So definitely, if you have that, I recommend people checking it out. Now, another one which had a lot of technical issues at launch, Flight Sim 2024. It's in a good place right now. You know, we've obviously, look, I know people, I know I'm associated with it, but if you jump in and play it now, they fixed a lot of those technical issues that they had at launch, and you're in a Flight Sim, hardcore, obviously, people that are into it, but even from a casual standpoint, some of the career stuff that you can do now, it is a digital of planet Earth, which is insane. You can go anywhere that you can think of, you can go, and all the variety of planes that you're able to access, balloons, helicopters, there's just a lot of fun activities that you can do in there. I believe digital tourists is the word that they use for people that are new to it, casual. They make it very easy to just pick up a controller and go play. But if you want to go extreme hardcore, just have your own cockpit at home and just do everything, you can do everything Like I said, it is truly a simulation if you want to play it that way. So for me, those would probably be my honorable mentions. Games that I had, like I just started Black Myth Wukong, as you know. So I'll have more to talk about that on the next couple of weeks. But obviously a lot of hype with that. We'll see. I did not play Metaphor. So I cannot. Yeah, so I know people are super hyped on that. So that would obviously be another one I think people should check out. But yeah, that would be me for honorable mentions.
Yeah, I love Metaphor. Metaphor is a great game. Here's the problem. Like, you know, it, like you said, Paris, especially when you're a parent, it's all about time, man. Like, that game is so long. And the story is great. Everything is great about the game. I just, like, I have 20 plus hours now in the game playing it. I just haven't finished it, so I can't recommend. I can't put it on honorable mentions if I haven't, you know, completed for that type of game. Like Black Myth Wukong, very, very far, but it's not a game where I have to like finish it to actually talk about it. You get what I'm saying? Like Metaphor, it's a very long, it's a very long game. So, but it's a good game. People should definitely check it out, man. It's really, especially if you love Persona, you're gonna love this one, man. It's good. It's really, really good. All right, so let's go with numero cinco. Number five, Paris. ¿Dónde está el lápiz? That's Paris.
En la playa.
En la playa. Doesn't make any sense for those Spanish speakers. Doesn't make any sense. Number five for me.
Why do you get to go first? Why can't I go first?
You want to go first?
Yep, I do. I do. I'm tired of you always taking the lead. Let me have some shine for once.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Number five is The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. Fantastic freaking game. I love this game. I first got a chance to play it in a preview at PAX, and I knew immediately. I go, oh, this is going to be dope. And the way that you get Zelda's taking the lead in this, obviously, I love the world that they've created with Hyrule here with Zelda and just using the echoes. Like, it's whatever your damn near whatever your imagination can come up with as far as using some of the objects in the world to complete some of the puzzles and fight the bosses and just the open world battles. It's fantastic. Again, if you got a Switch, if you're looking for a great Zelda game to play, check out Echoes of Wisdom. It's great.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, here's my number five. You know, this is the game that I think I have the most hours out of all the games that I have this year, but it's still number five for me. It's Black Ops 6. I've been playing that game nonstop. I just love it. Is it perfect? No. Have I played the campaign? I play a little bit, but I'm playing more zombies and multiplayer. Warzone is like my least part of the game that I play, but when it comes to like zombies and multiplayer, it's a lot of fun, man. So much fun. Like where graphically looks a little bit better than the previous games. The thing that I just don't like is the emojis when you win a match.
Yeah,
it's so cheesy. It's cheesy as hell. It's very, very cheesy. But overall, it's a lot of fun, man. Like, yo, there's content every week. There's something new in there, man. You know, like I've been playing it nonstop. Now, also, the thing that I like about this game, Black Ops 6, is pick up and play a couple hours, maybe an hour, and I'm done. Like, it's not, you know, it's not where I'll be playing that, like, all day. You know, I play a little bit here and there, you know, due to time. So, and I was checking, Paris, I have 300-something hours on just Call of Duty this year alone. 300-something hours. It's crazy insane that the amount of hours that I have. And I was actually checking out my replay stats of like from Steam and also on Xbox, and Call of Duty is like on top of my list, man, you know, for both versions, you know. So you were gonna say something about Black Ops for you?
I was just gonna say that I should have had it on my honorable mention, but I have not played the campaign yet, and I've heard so many great things about the campaign, and I pretty much just echo everything that you're saying. It's like, it's funny, I wasn't really big into Call of Duty until this year. Like, the irony of it was when Modern Warfare 3 went to Game Pass, I was like, oh, let me just start playing, and I got hooked on the multiplayer. And then obviously Black Ops 6, you know, we've obviously been playing stuff like that on the multiplayer. I love it. I love it. And then getting a chance to check out Zombies this year, going to Treyarch and all that. It's funny because it comes out every year. So it almost feels like it shouldn't count, but it does. But that multiplayer is that good. And I will say, I understand there's a lot of cheating going on right now. Yeah, and they need to clean that up. So that kind of takes it down a notch, unfortunately, for me, because of all the rampant cheating right now. So need to clean that up. But yeah, man, fun as hell.
Yeah,
love multiplayer.
Yeah, and I love the Omni movement in there. Omni movement is pretty good in there. So hey, it's fun. I like the game. All right, so Paris, I go with my number four. This also came out early this year, and I have a lot of hours in this game. So many hours, and I had a great time playing. Also, we went to the hands-on event at the beginning of the year. I believe it was like in January, the end of January, beginning of February, I think. I can't quite remember. But it's a Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I really, really enjoy this game. Now, one thing that I wish they could, you know, make it a little bit smaller for the next game, I feel like there was just too much stuff to do in there. If you want to do like side quests and all that stuff. Like, I love the open world. It was really cool doing that and everything. The story's great. I actually met some of the cast members at the Game Awards. I met them over there too. And I told him, look, I really enjoyed it. Actually, in January, when we come back, I have an interview actually with the creator and game director of Final Fantasy series. I'm going to have him on Gamer Tag. I met them and everything. I recorded during the week of the Game Awards. But anyways, like I was saying, I really enjoyed the game. Soundtrack is amazing. Cast is great. Great story. Can't wait for the third one coming out in the future. And actually, this version is also coming out on PC, on Steam for the first time. And I'm very excited to try that out too. Because I also play Remake on Steam, PC, and also on a Steam Deck. It was really cool. But I think this one's going to be a lot better. They're going to have a lot more features and everything there too. Don't know if it's going to have a ultra wide screen. I would love to see that because the previous one didn't have that. So we'll see. But yeah, overall, great game. I think Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is really cool. If people like Remake, I think people are going to enjoy this one too. That's my number four.
So my number four, and I'm going to just roll right into the number three because we're going to overlap on what we just talked about, is Prince of Persia Lost Crown. I mean, everything that you said, it was funny seeing it at, was it the Game Awards 2023? Like, we saw it earlier. Or was that Summer Game Fest or something?
Game Fest, Ubisoft 4. They had like
that's what it was. And I was like, ooh, man, oh, this might be all right. And then January it came out, dope. And yeah. I think if people have been paying attention to me over the past year, I go, as it stands right now, this is my game of the year. That's how good it was to kick off the year. I thought it was fantastic. I love the Metroidvania style games, and it does not get the love that it should get. It does not get the recognition that it should get, in my personal opinion. I know it got, you know, some nominations at the Game Awards, things like that, but for me, it was absolutely one of the best games that I played this year. And hopefully, you know, more people, you know, will jump in and go check it out, because I definitely think it's something that you should play. Now, my number three was Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So like you mentioned, that preview event, it was hilarious that I'm sitting there talking to this one dude. And we're just talking, having a good old time. Had no idea it was the voice actor for Barrett. No idea. No idea.
You guys are talking for the longest
time too. No, and then I saw him again at the Game Awards last week. So yeah, great guy. And as I've said, wasn't a final, like, I played the original Final Fantasy VII for a little bit on PS1 way back in the day, but I never got into, you know, Remake, and obviously Rebirth was me jumping back into it, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought they did a fantastic job with it. I know some people may or may not have got upset with me when I said on XCast that it was criminal that this game was not on Xbox. And guess what? I stand by that, my friend.
And guess what?
It's coming. We know it's coming. But to the point that I was trying to make, even when I said that, was it was that good that, man, I want everyone to have an opportunity to play this game, because not everyone has a PlayStation 5, right? So it's coming to PC. Great. Eventually it'll come to Xbox. Great. So more people get a chance to experience this game, because it was top notch. Really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, my number three, and this one, we also went to the hands-on event of this one. We were there, I think it was like we were there from like 9 a.m. to like maybe 5 o'clock. We were playing the game, and this is Dragon Age The Veilguard. Now, I'm going to keep it real. I didn't like the video that we got to see, the trailer that we got to see at the Xbox showcase. Didn't like it at all. I was like, meh. Once I went to the behind closed doors presentation at Summer Game Fest, I was like, yo, I'm in. This game is fantastic, yo. We got to play it. We really enjoy it. I love that everybody's going to have different stories. Now, and I did mention this, I finished the game completely. The sooner that you finish the game, I think you will get the worst ending out of all the endings. Because it is important to take your time and get to know your companions, get to know the characters. Once you get to know them, you will see a better story, I think, in my opinion. Me, I rushed it so fast, that I didn't, like, I really enjoyed the game. The ending could have been better, but it was my fault. And I like that. I like that the BioWare developed this game in a way where you have to go back and take your time to do more stuff so you could get to know the characters and everything. And the story will be a lot better because of your taking your time, you know? So, and I haven't never experienced any other games before like that. So that was really cool to see. But yeah, overall, I just love the story. Love that talking to different people. There's a lot of other friends, and also like talking to you, Paris and Ree. Everybody had like a different experience based on our choices. And it's really cool. It reminded me of the old BioWare games, you know, with, of course, with like Dragon Age, but also Mass Effect. And I think I mentioned this on our review. Personally, for me, it's the best BioWare game since Mass Effect 2. And a lot of people got mad at me for saying that. And I'm like, yo, that's an opinion. That's how I feel. I think it's still a great game since Mass Effect 2. So I think people should definitely try it out. It's a fantastic, fantastic game. I wish the game could have gotten more nominations during the Game Awards. I don't know if it was because of the time it got released. I have no idea what happened, but it's a good game, man. It's really, really good. And I think BioWare is back. I know they're working on other projects. Mass Effect is one of them, probably. They're in a good path. You know, there was a couple of years where BioWare was in a really tough spot releasing their games, especially with Anthem and so on, you know, so it's good. Highly recommend to play Dragon Age the Veilguard. That's my number three.
So my number two is a tie.
Ooh, that's a good one. Tie.
Balatro.
Okay.
I literally almost feel like that's all you need to say. And just drop the mic and just walk away. Here's the hilarious thing about Balatro for me. Kept hearing about it, you know, the card game, whatever. Wasn't playing it. The irony was it went on mobile and it was on Apple Arcade.
Interesting.
So when it went on mobile, I had it on my phone, still wasn't playing it. For some dumb reason, I was like, oh, it's on Apple Arcade. Let me play it on the Apple TV, you know, like sitting in my living room. So one day I picked it up and just started playing it. It was like someone just injected heroin, like directly it right into my neck. Because crack. It is literal crack. It damn near should be game of the year, damn near, but we'll get to the game of the year. That game is so gosh darn fun. I don't even know how to say it. It is one of the most addicting games. Like, the fact that you saw the love it got during the Game Awards, all that is 100% deserved. If you have not played Balatro, do it. You're going to think, oh, it's a card game. No. This ain't no card game. This, it's like, there's strategy to this. It's just, it's insane. It is insane how good that game is that one person made it. I can't believe one person made that game. You know, wow. Now, I said it's a tie. And again, this is where once you got past the technical issues and finally got to what the game is, Stalker 2. I love Stalker 2. I love Stalker 2. And it's funny. They had so many bugs before launch that yeah. I was like, okay, I'm like, it's okay. And you go watch the review, like I was on Kind of Funny talking about it. I was even saying, it was like, I have to judge what I played. I know a day one patch is coming, but I have to judge what I'm playing versus what it potentially could be with this day one patch. That day one patch changed everything. That changed everything. I love the zone, the survival aspects of what Stalker 2 is. I get it now. I get why so people were so, that the franchise is so beloved. Stalker 2 is one of the best games. Clearly, obviously, I'm saying it's number two. One of the best games that I played this year. It's fantastic. It is brutally hard. And I love that. I think that's what the charm of it is for me, is the difficulty of it. Your head needs to constantly be on a swivel. Just when you think you're the super badass, wrong. That game will take your ass out in a hot minute. And I love that. It looks beautiful on Unreal 5. And they even just put another patch out to clean up some other issues that they're having. Here's my advice to anyone that's not played Stalker 2. If you jump in now, it's going to be a fun experience. But, you know, GSC Game World has even said some more fixes are coming in the next. Because I even got a chance to talk to a couple people when we were at the Game Awards. And they're aware. They know the issues that it's had. And they're hard at work with cleaning those up and get it finished. I will say, if you probably wait another month to get to like February, and jump in, that's probably going to be the definitive version of the game. Because I think a lot of the issues, especially on the console, some of the bugs and the issues they've had, Dead Zone with the controller, stuff like that, they're going to be able to fix all that. But yeah, that's my number two, because I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, you know what? And I probably will. Sorry, I just hit my mic. I think I'm going to go back and play, because like you said, Paris, I played the before the patches came out, and I was like, it's not for me, man. Not for me. But I think based on your conversation, because of the patches and everything, I think I'll go back and play, man. I'll go back and play.
Yeah, I think, and again, it's on Game Pass. So if you're in Xbox, you got Game Pass, check it out. Like I said, you could jump in now, and it's in a really good place. And it's going to get an even better place in about another month or so. I think they even just put out on their blog, they listed all the stuff that they're going to be working on, the roadmap. So I love that game. Absolutely love it. It's right up my alley.
You know, I'm surprised you picked Stalker 2. Very surprised. Was not expecting that at all. I can see Bellatro. Like, I can see Paris Saga of Bellatro. You talked about it online. Stalker 2, really cool. Really interesting. All right, here's my number two. I have a history with the studio that worked on this game, you know. And I think I mentioned it before on our show previous, a couple of years back. I think it was like in 2018. I think I mentioned this. Oh, I played this game called Grease. Years back. That game came out during a time where I was in a very difficult part of my life. Like, I was having a lot of personal issues happening around that time. And Grease was the one that, when I played the game, it helped me to forget all the crap that was going on. And I really, really got into that game. And I even thanked the developers. They're from Spain, actually. I can't remember their name. But I thanked them on Twitter, saying that, man, thank you for releasing this type of game. Like, it was very deep. Like, the game was a lot of fun. Story was a lot of, it was really, really interesting and everything overall. So I remember I don't know if it was Summer Game Fest or was it Opening Night Live. I can't remember when I got to see the trailer for the first time. Well, maybe it was Game Awards. I can't remember. It was one of those three, because Jeff is everywhere. So I don't know which one is which. But I got to see their new game they were working on called Neva. And I'm like, snap, it's the same studio? Oh, man, I'm all in. So shout out to Devolver Digital. They're always making so many cool games, man. So I got to play the game. And you have your character and her companion is a wolf. Well, I don't want to say much about the story because I really want you guys to go in not knowing anything. Just play it. But, man, I freaking cry playing that game, Paris. Like, the story is so good. You will connect with these characters. And I just love it. Think of it as like this action, you know, action adventure game right there, right? The music was so good. The art style in the game and every level, the seasons changes and everything. And it was so good that, man, I got emotional when playing this game. It's one of those games where I'm glad this game got nominated and also won in the Game Awards. I'm like, people need to experience this they need to experience this playing this, man. No matter what device, platform, just play it and just enjoy it. And here's the thing. The character, you hear saying, never, never, because it's also calling her companion. But that's it. There's no dialogue in this game. Like, you might hear other stuff, but this is like the one that you hear 95% of the time. You hear the word never throughout the whole game. But man, it is so good. So, so good. This is art. That's how I call it. Like, it's a masterpiece in my opinion. So I'll give this a number two on my list from Game of the Year.
So I should have had this in my honorable mention. Yo, when Neva would like get hurt and yelps. Gets you every time. You know, you're right. Everything you said is spot on. That's another one where I remember you were talking about it and some other people were talking about it. And look, full admission, I had the code. Was like doing other stuff. And then I was like, all right, let me sit down and play this. Yeah, dude, let me just say this before we move into number one. These are the kind of games that I love. I love these type of games. Not everything needs to be the big AAA budget, 100-hour game. Sometimes, 100%. Yo, give me a good 8-10-hour experience. Hit me in the feels. I'm good. And that's what Neva is. That's what Neva is. Fantastic. Fantastic game.
Yeah. Now. Never so good. All right. Number one. And I think we probably agree
on this. I'm pretty sure you and I are on the same page with this one.
Okay.
And anybody that knows me since September, I've been saying this, screaming from rooftops, and then definitely was peacocking last week. Astrobot. Astrobot's the game of the year. You kiss my tuchus if you think it's not. It is the game of the year. I freaking love this game. I had a smile on my face the entire time. Like, it's so funny because, you know, I had that clip from GTR where I was talking about why I thought it should be game of the year. And I ran down the list because, you know, people were getting mad at me. And I said it then, and I'm going to say it now. The only people that don't love this game is people that have not played the game. You ain't played
100%.
It. 100%. Because you played it, there's no way you did not love this game. Because, sure, it is a Mario clone. But so what? It is doing, like, I love the acceptance speech that they had. They talked about that because they gave a nod to Mario. Because, of course, no one's blind. We know this is taking elements from the 3D Mario games. But the fact that Team Asobi was able to do it at that level. And then they're celebrating 30 years of PlayStation at the same time. Some of the most fun I've had this year was with Astrobot with some of those levels. Like, man, I just love that God of War level. I just love it.
It's so, like, good.
As soon as you go, I just had a smile the whole time. And man, when you get to the challenge levels, it has, like, look, it has difficulty in it. It has the charm of platforming in it, right? It has the nod to, again, you collecting all these characters and going through the history of PlayStation. It just does everything right. The music is addicting to it as well. I just loved it. I loved it from the moment I picked it up. And the fact that they're continuing to act like they added that winter level in there. Now, I haven't played it yet. I got to jump in and play it. But they're continuing to add more stuff in there. Fantastic game. It is fantastic. It is my game of the year. That's why I will admit, I did not think it was going to win at the Game Awards. I thought it was going to be Metaphor or something like that. But I was consistent in saying I think it should. So the fact that it did win brought a smile to my face. I was happy to see that Team Asobi got that recognition, because it goes back to what I just said about Neva. Not everything needs to be a AAA 100-hour game. This was perfect that you can get enough out of it in 8 to 10 hours to enjoy yourself. And if you want to continue on with some of the challenges that are there, you can do that too. Thought it was fantastic. Great. I'll say this and I'll pass the mic to you. I promise you, Mario team saw that. They looked at each other and they go, we got to step our game up. I'm serious. That 3D Mario comes out, and this is good. This is good for us.
Yeah.
Yo, that 3D Mario is going to be a banger. Because I'm sure they saw what Astrobot just did, and they go, we got to top this. And that's good for us. So, yeah. That, loved it.
Yeah, I think the 30th anniversary PlayStation theme that I had in the game was perfect, of seeing, like, all the different type of characters and IPs that helped make PlayStation throughout their whole 30 years. It was perfect. There was a lot of surprises in there, man, too. Like I know you mentioned some levels there, like the God of War level, there's a Horizon level that I'm like, oh my God, this is so cool, man. So cool that we were not expecting at all. It was really cool. And this is like this generation Mario Galaxy. I think that's like the closest. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. This is not a spoiler at all. There's a moment in the game that I'm like, yo, this is Avengers Endgame. This is like, wow, this is so cool. The way how they managed to get... I'm not going to say much. I'm going to keep it like that. It was goosebumps. Goosebumps throughout the whole game. I enjoyed it. Here's the thing. You know, my daughter, she doesn't know much about games yet. You know, she's 1 year old. Can you believe Paris said this was the game that she sat down and was just looking at the screen? Out of all the stuff that I played, this is the one. And I think it was because of the sound, the colors. It looked like cartoons for her. She really enjoyed it. And she actually, because it was only us two. I'll never forget that weekend. Rihanna went to PAX. And I stayed with our daughter. And this was the game that she sat down. She's like, I'm going to let Dada, you know, play. And I'm going to observe. And she was laughing, cracking up. She's hearing the sound effects. Because I love the DualSense controller. You hear the sound in the controller, too, coming out through there, through the speaker there. Like, just the whole experience overall was so cool, man, to see, man. So, so cool. And I finished the game. And I'm surprised. Surprised that I managed to finish that game. Because it's hard, you know, having a baby. It's hard to do that. But yo, she was calm and just watching me play it. Like, it was like, I've never seen that. Maybe like a Nintendo game, like you said, maybe you probably would get that experience, but like a PlayStation game, never. Not like this, man. And here's another thing too. I think I'm glad that a platformer like that won Game of the Year, the Game Awards. Because honestly, most of the time, we don't get to see platformers getting that type of love of Game of the Year. It's barely. Not from PlayStation, not from Xbox, maybe from Nintendo, you know, from like their previous games from back in the days. But that's about it. We need to see more platformers, man, because that was the genre that made me love games back in the 80s. Yeah. That was like, man, companies got to do that. And there was a time where it was all about action, blood, and all this stuff. Like, and I feel like a lot of companies forgot about that. Nintendo was the only company, still to this day, they're like, nope, this is our formula. We're going to stick with it. So I'm glad that PlayStation gave an opportunity for Sobi that for them to create this type of game. And look, it became a hit, and it became a game of the Year award winner at the Game Awards. That's really cool, man, to see. And now seeing that, I think companies are going to risk and put more money into platformers, man, because we don't see that nowadays as much, you know? So it's good. You were going to say something?
No, it was just funny because you're just talking about platformers not winning Game of the Year. And I was just thinking the year Odyssey came out the same year as Zelda, didn't it? But then God of War won that year, I want to say. It was just one of those years where Odyssey could have won Game of the Year. Absolutely. But there was just a lot of stiff competition in there. So, you know, you can't even be mad at that. But this is the point that you're making. I am not here without platformers. I am not in love with video games if it was not for Super Mario Brothers back in 85, right? So I'm happy to see something that was a literal love letter to that original game get Game of the Year. And then, you know, we obviously had something like Psychonauts 2 that could have won Game of the Year, but again, it ran into stiff competition, didn't win anything. So yeah, I am happy to see a platformer get it so that we get more platformers. Because that is a genre. That genre is the backbone of gaming, in my personal opinion. Everybody loves playing a platformer. Who don't like playing platformers, right? Yeah. So This one did it right, and I want to see more.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, that's about it for our top five. I think overall, this list is pretty good for both of us, Paris. And I'm glad that I think most of us are going to agree with our number one, I think. You know, Astrobot is a very, very special game, and I would love to see more of that in the future. Look, let me tell you right now, if we're watching, let's say, a PlayStation showcase in the future, and they show the next Astrobot game, yo, dude, you know everybody's going to lose their minds. They're going to lose their minds if that ever happens. I can't wait to see Astrobot on Steam, because you know that's going to happen.
Okay, so I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that.
I want that to happen. Ultra wide screen. Steam sure. Deck.
I'm not sure.
Paris?
I agree. Look, I want it because it's so PlayStation focused. I wonder if they do it. I think they should, 100%. And I'll take you a step further. It should be a launch title for the Switch too. It should.
That would be nuts.
How should it not be? Yeah. The Switch is the perfect platform for it. And I understand from a tech standpoint, maybe the original Switch can't really play it, you know, the way that you do on PS5, but the Switch 2 should. This should be a Switch 2 game. Yeah. Absolutely should be. So look, I'm with you. I just wonder if PlayStation actually does it is my thing, but it should be. Should be on Steam. It should be on this. Switch 2.
They will bank. They will get so much copies sold. Mm-hmm. If it happens, woo. Because look, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, they released the Lego Horizon game on Switch. You never know what could happen for the Switch 2. But I can see, look, man, I can see this game going on Steam. 100% Paris. Here's the thing. God of War, Spider-Man, Horizon, you know, so many places and games already. Helldivers 2. I mean, I could keep continuing. Returnal, all on Steam. This is the perfect game for the Steam. Here's why. Yes, there is a lot of history with PlayStation, but that is a promotional tool, Paris, where people will go play this game on Steam for the first time. This will be like, let's say, their first PlayStation game. They're like, wow, you know what? I should go buy PlayStation 5. this is so cool. And it will go, I can see that happening too. So yeah, go ahead.
There's a technical aspect to this as well.
Okay.
The DualSense works on Steam, obviously. But to take advantage of the DualSense features, which Astrobot does do, it has to be wired. Can't do it wireless.
Okay.
I'm just saying. So that is part of my thinking. If you can't, quote unquote, get the full Astrobot experience, because most people are going to use a DualSense wireless, telling people that you have to tether yourself with a cable could be a deterrent. I'm just putting it out there because that is a limitation right now. Now, if PlayStation figures it out and gets the full DualSense features wireless, then, hey, we're good. And obviously, I'm sure to switch to. I'm sure a lot of the gyro stuff and all that you're able to do on that obviously fits right into Astrobot. So I don't think they'd have an issue there. But on PC, there is a limitation with the DualSense controller.
No, I agree with you. Here's the thing. I can see that, and I agree with you, but I also disagree with you because look at this game, Ratchet and Clank. There's a lot of features in there in the console version that was not available.
There's things that you literally cannot do. That you have to use the DualSense for, that you won't be able to do. Like, there's sections of Astrobot you can't complete if it doesn't take advantage of the DualSense. That's my point.
Yeah, I get it. But here's the thing. I think the studio could do something where, like, hey, look, you know what? It's a port. There's going to be features not available, like the PlayStation 5. I think they could work it out. They could clean that up and make it available. Because, like, at the end of the day, it's all about the publisher. If the publisher says, release it... Or I grab the Xbox and be like, yo, you do that, yo, people are gonna get mad, Paris. The Xbox controller. No, I get it. I totally agree. Now, before we wrap it up, Paris, I know we gotta end in a few. Switch 2, Paris. Switch 2. I think I was the only one in this podcast that I mentioned it for months. I'm like, look, next year is the 40th anniversary. Is it 40th anniversary? Yeah, 40th anniversary of Mario Brothers. I could see two things that might happen. I could see Mario Kart 9 or a new Mario game to launch. I think you were saying, no, they need to launch a new Mario game, which I agree. But when it comes to sales, there's no other IP bigger than Mario Kart series that's gonna surpass the sales on that. Look, love the platform of Mario Bros. Love it. But I think Mario Kart is going to surpass. And when was the last time we got to see a brand new Mario Kart? Look, Mario Kart 8 was from the Wii U. So it's been that long. Very, very long. Yeah, I know they added some new content and everything only available on Switch. But I could see Mario Kart 9 being a launch title. Now, maybe later that year, close to the holidays, maybe I could definitely see Nintendo releasing a new Mario Brothers game, a platformer, right before the holidays. Have the sales... you know, of Mario Kart 9 and the Switch 2 to sell like crazy. It's going to sell a lot. And then at the end of the year, release that brand new Mario game. Because at the end of the day, no other company is going to be like Nintendo, you know? So I could definitely see that. I could definitely see an announcement coming out very soon. And maybe March, April, I mean, around that time. Before spring, I think that would be like the perfect time to release a Switch 2, I think. Man. But now, if it gets announced, I'll be the first person to pre-order this because I'm getting that on day one. Because I love the Switch. Love the Switch. So, Paris, you were going to say something.
For the longest, I disagreed with you. But it makes sense. What you're saying about launch it with Mario Kart, 3D Mario in the holiday. I think that makes sense. I can see that. I'm curious because they've acknowledged Metroid as well.
I think that's going to be like
not at launch. It won't be at launch, but
no, I think it is coming out 2025. They did mention it's coming 2025. Yeah. So I can see Metroid coming out both on original Switch and also Switch 2.
That was going to be the point that I was going to make. I'm curious how they're going to handle, since I guess they've already said backwards compatibility. I think that's official.
Yeah, they did.
So we know we're going to have backwards compatibility, which is great. So obviously all my Switch games are going to follow me. But like you said, that launch window, how much, you know, cross-gen are they going to do? Mario Kart kind of has to be cross-gen, right? You would think. I don't see them saying you have to get a Switch 2 to get Mario, if it's at launch. Because to the point about 3D Mario, I think 3D Mario, they're going to go, no, you need Switch 2 for that. Because we're going to do some next-gen stuff that the old Switch can't do. I can see that.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. And here's the thing. If you look back, the gameplay trailer of Metroid that just released, I think, sometime last year. Was it last year or this early this year? I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
Wait,
yeah.
When you look at that trailer, we're like, yo, those graphics doesn't look like a Nintendo Switch graphics. Like, you could tell, like, hey, this seems like a little more powerful. It's a Switch 2 game. 100% mm-hmm. sure it's a Switch 2 game. But here's the thing. And going back in history, like, I remember when the original Switch came out, every month there was one exclusive game for the whole first year of Nintendo Switch. I remember that. There was, like, something new. Mario Kart was one of them. Zelda came out, I believe, came out Wii U and also Switch. There was, like, a lot of games throughout the whole year. I could see that with this one, from the release of the Switch 2 all the way to the end of the year, yo, we're going to get bangers, just exclusive. And then I think towards the end, like November, have a Mario, brand new Mario game. I don't know if it's going to be a Galaxy or Odyssey. I don't know what, but I could definitely see that happening at the end of the year, man. Maybe it could be a totally different brand new Mario game that we have never seen before. You know, now, like you said, is it going to be cross-platform? I think we might see that in the beginning, but towards the end, I think they're going to move on. Like, hey, you already enjoyed the original Switch? Buy Switch 2, because this game is not going to be available on that console. I guess definitely see that.
Two predictions I have. Sticking with the Switch, I think we're going to get a new Mario Maker as well. Not saying at launch or anything, but we're going to get a Mario Maker for Switch 2.
The only difference, I think this one is probably going to have like a 3D.
That's what I'm right? thinking.
That will be
insane.
That will be insane. But like, hey, what? Like, yo, Nintendo 64?
Dashi loses mind.
Oh yeah. Do you think it's gonna be kind of like a Mario 64 type 3D Mario that we get to see?
I'm thinking we bring it up modern. I'm thinking like Galaxy Odyssey stuff, right?
That'll be nuts.
Insane. If they do that, it's a wrap. It's a freaking wrap.
What's your second prediction?
So my second one has nothing to do with Nintendo. And I've been saying this, and I'm going to continue to say it till I'm proven wrong. Grand Theft Auto 6 is not coming out in 2025.
You know about that, Paris? This is conversation I've been having with people, you know, throughout the year. Yo, nobody want to release a game around that time. Nobody wants to release a game. Because here's the thing. You release a game when when Grand Theft Auto comes out, that, yo, everybody's going to ignore that game, man. Because that's how strong. Look, I think the only company that doesn't give a crap about it, maybe Nintendo, like, I don't care. We release.
Yeah, I think Nintendo could be like, whoa, we're putting out Mario. I don't care.
Yeah, we're putting it out. Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah.
Every, like, PlayStation, Xbox, any other third party, yo, nobody's going to do that. They're not going to do that.
And I'll say this because I see a couple comments in the chat. I'm not saying that, like, I hope it doesn't come out in 2020. I hope it does. I just think Rockstar's track record tells me it gets delayed. You know, just their history says, sure, they want to get it, but they're not putting that game out until it's right. Let's put it this way. They're not putting out a buggy ass Grand Theft Auto 6. That ain't happening. If there's technical issues, bugs, they don't think they can hit the date and get it right and polish the way that to their satisfaction, they'll delay it. And that's what I think is going to ultimately happen. I just think they'll get to a point. Look, don't be shocked when the tweet comes out with the yellow font or background or whatever and go, we have unfortunate news. We've decided to delay Grand Theft Auto 6 until spring of 2026. We want to make sure to give you the best experience, blah, 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 blah. That's what I think happens.
I can definitely see that. And this game was not been in development for 4 years. It's been way longer than that.
Yeah,
it's way been a long ass time. Yeah. And you know what? I prefer to see that. Like, hey, if the game is not right, take your time. I want a masterpiece. Just take your time. Don't rush it because of the investors. No. Just take your time. I want a gem.
It's just like, I will give you another example. And you're with me when we're talking with them. I've seen people online thinking that The Witcher 4 is coming out in like 2026 or 2027. Ain't no way. Anyway.
No. Uh-uh.
2028 at the earliest.
2020, I can see that.
They just went into full production just now.
Just now. And they said it on a podcast. They just said it to on a podcast when we interviewed them. Yeah.
Even the offline conversations with them, it was like, no, this is years away. So I would not expect that game anytime. Like, in my opinion, when it comes to The Witcher 4, that's a next gen game. That's not a current gen game. Will they do cross gen to where it's playable on PlayStation 5 and all that? Possibly. But I tell you this, they sure as hell ain't going to repeat the Cyberpunk 2077 fiasco with old gen. I know that. If it can't run properly on the current gen, I don't think they'll do it. I think it'll be a full next gen game. That's just my opinion.
You want to hear my prediction? It's a wild one, Paris.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening.
All right. Some people might not like this, but we'll see. I could see a game like Fable. Of course, it's going to come out PlayStation. I could see that happen. It's not even a... It's not
at
even
this point,
thing.
You should expect
at this
it.
Point, I could definitely see... At launch, I could see Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Nintendo Switch 2. Mm-hmm. I could definitely see that.
Mm-hmm.
I also predict that Microsoft Flight Simulator 2024 is going to be available on PlayStation 5 and potentially Switch 2.
I don't think that's a prediction. I think that's a spoiler.
That's a spoiler? Okay. Well,
Switch 2 is a prediction just from the technical standpoint of it. But PlayStation 5, it's
100%.
Happening.
It's happening. Yeah. It's 100% happening. I could see the Switch 2 being $400, $399. Do you see that? Or you think it's going to be more?
$399 makes sense. Okay. I don't think they'll go above that.
I could see a game like Master Chief Collection, Switch 2. I could definitely see that, mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. Also, of course, PlayStation 5. That's not even a given. Mm-hmm. But I think we're going to get to see a lot more games. Because right now, I see people only see the PlayStation 5 ports. But I think more than ever, once the Switch 2 gets announced, we're going to see more Xbox games on the Nintendo Switch platform in the future, 100%. I could definitely see. They've been doing it now with Minecraft. I could definitely see with Call of Duty, because I think Phil mentioned this, that they have a partnership.
The FTC stuff. They already said
never mentioned which game is going to be, but I think when we get to see the press conference of Nintendo Switch, it's going to be live in Japan, Tokyo, whatever, all the press. I think those are the games that we're going to get to see from Xbox that's going to be available there, man. I would love to see Game Pass in there. I don't know. That's not going to happen because Nintendo is not going to let that happen. But ports of these games that we got to play it on Steam, console, Xbox is definitely going to go Switch for sure.
One final one, and this is more of a hope that the game even gets made. But if it does, Banjo-Kazooie's day and date on Switch too.
100%.
Day and date. If they make another Banjo-Kazooie game, and I am saying if, because the little bit that I have been told is like, there's not one secretly in production. I've heard that multiple times over the past year. But if and or when a Banjo-Kazooie does happen, that'll be day and date on Switch too, because that just fits right into the narrative of what Xbox is trying to do. Your biggest audience for a Banjo-Kazooie game is going to be a Nintendo audience. So why the hell would you not put it on a Nintendo platform?
Now, my question to you, Paris, do you think a game like Grand Theft Auto 6, do you think that could be potentially on a Switch too? Or that's like a future?
I don't think the hardware can support it. I don't think so. Yeah. Because you got to think, and we'll obviously know when it gets officially revealed, Switch 2 is essentially a PS4 and an Xbox One.
A little bit more powerful than that. A little bit.
That's my point. So I think they're going bleeding edge with Grand Theft Auto 6 on PS5 and Series X. So I don't think so. Okay. I don't think that makes it Switch 2.
Okay.
And we know it's not happening at launch. They'll do a PC port before they do a Switch 2 port, if it were to ever happen.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, look, I can definitely see Cyberpunk, definitely see Alan Wake 2. You know, those type of games, I could definitely see that on like the Switch 2. 100% I can see that happening. Grand Theft Auto is a question mark. I don't know. Unless they do like a cloud version, maybe. That's like the only way that I could see that happening. But the chances of that happening, who knows?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Cyberpunk, because the fact that they're putting it on Mac, and they even hinted in that last Red stream that they're not. They keep saying they're done, but they're not done. There's going to be something else. There's going to be something else with Cyberpunk.
Yeah. All right, Paris, I think that's about it, man. I think this year has been great, man. We've done a lot. You know, I know we haven't really been on Twitch live for different reasons because, you know, we've been super, super busy in different ways where, you know, I've been busy with the things I'm doing with our business and getting content on the side. Like, it's been a crazy schedule for me, you know, and for you and Pete, the same thing. Like, you guys working, all this stuff. But I'm glad that, you know, you have your YouTube channel up and running too. You know, you got stuff there. You're doing stuff still with Kind of Funny. I'm very happy to have Ree with us now too, that she's helping us, you know, with content. You know, she can't be on the podcast here because it's difficult because of our baby. But, you know, we recorded a couple of things already the past couple of weeks. And it was a lot of fun recording with her. You know, the secret level, sitting down with the secret level team. You know, for me earlier this year, the Fallout cast, that was really fun to do that with them. With the actors, director, the writers, sitting down with them about the series. Just overall, this has been a great, great year for GTR. Now, for the 20th anniversary, I'm planning to do a whole year long of celebration of different ways, surprises. But also, there's a lot of big games coming out next year that we're going to get hands on. Either Paris will go, I will go, somebody will go and get the chance to play it. We could talk about it here. Love to have some surprise guests on the show to sit down and just do interviews. But also, what I'm going to do throughout the whole year, and this is going to be something really cool, I am also going to go back throughout the 20 years. So let's say we have a new episode on Monday, and then Thursday will be like a retro type episode where I might have Paris talking about what happened during the recording, you know, behind the scenes of recording of this. And we'll play the audio of that. So, like, for example, you know, I have content of, like, when the Xbox 360 launched, you know, I was with my brother at the stores. I had Cyber Athlete. He was part of the show back then. He was at the Zero Hour. Pavis is also a Zero Hour. We could talk about that. But I have the audio, the original audio of us in different places and people calling us in line at the stores waiting to get their Xbox 360 for the first time. You know, like, stuff like that. Or, you know, me interviewing Peter Moore right before the original Wii came out. And he talked about the controller compared to that and the Xbox 360 coming up. I have that audio that went viral back in the day. Like, I have a lot of stuff that it will be cool to get some, like, behind-the-scenes story before I play the audio. And that will be, like, a podcast. So that will be a 20th anniversary retro type of content that I'm planning to do for throughout the whole year. Now, there's going to be some times where we might be at an event or something where not that day, it's not coming out, but eventually the week after that, we're going to have a retro episode. So, were you going to say something, Paris?
I know one that we absolutely have to do.
Which one?
Was this 2008? I can't remember exactly. And yeah, you know what? Wait, or was it later? It doesn't matter. But we were at an event. Was it the Saboteur? I can't remember, but we were at an event in LA and we did a roundtable podcast at the hotel. And we had a special guest that I didn't realize who the hell he was at the time, but Ryan at Marvel.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
We talked about press versus independent media. And it is fascinating to now fast forward here to 2025 and see how that conversation then applies to now.
That is true. We should release that one. That one's good.
I remember that. But I bring up Ryan because I just think it was so funny that at that time. So this had to have been a little bit later because I want to say, weren't they about to do? They're about to film Avengers or something.
That he was there at Marvel. This is early days of Marvel.
This is like Iron Man was already a thing. But then I think they were gearing up to do Avengers and he had been on set, like all this crazy stuff. Yeah, just nuts.
Yeah, yeah. But let me ask you this question. Like, we were right at that time about press versus community at that time. It was different, yeah. I think, but it's crazy how has it changed?
It's flipped. Because let's just be honest about this. Especially here, right here at the end of the year, we've seen even more layoffs and departures from like IGN and GameSpot and some other places. Traditional media does not carry the same weight as it did even 5 years ago. I mean, that's just the truth. Think about it. Some of the people, you know, we love dearly that are still a part of the media. What have they started to do? What we do, create their own YouTube channels, they're streaming, they're doing more independent things than just being a part of the traditional model anymore. Just is what it is.
Bro, I totally forgot about that episode. Totally forgot about it. And that's the thing I want to go back and listen to those, because we had a different point of view. I'm not saying that we were right or wrong back then, but
yeah, it's just different. Yeah.
It was different at that time. And it's good to go back and listen to it and have a conversation, like, you know, before the episode starts and after listening to the episode, we could talk about that, you know? So another person here, this is from John Wiki. He said, we got to bring back Four Skew episode.
Yeah, that's just a classic.
That's a classic.
And the irony of all that is, Danny, I will say this on the record.
Yeah.
It's essentially what Xbox is doing now. This is an Xbox.
Which is wild to me.
It ain't Four Skew. It's everything is a damn skew.
Everything is a skew.
Yeah.
Because at that time, I remember you and P were saying, nah, like, that will confuse the consumer.
Yeah.
That confuse the consumer. Look, nah, that is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy. Yeah. That's going to be fun, man.
But you know, I was even thinking of just this whole traditional media versus independent community stuff. We literally just experienced this last week. Think about it. Who was the first person to talk to CD Projekt Red about The Witcher 4?
It was us.
And I've obviously paid attention to other people doing that, got to sit down with them. Like, they went in studio with Easy Allies. They sat down with
PC Gamer.
With the Friends Per Second, you know, Skill Up and Lucy and Jake. They sat down with them. They did PC Gamer. They did IGN. But then the other ones were not the quote unquote traditional media ones, right? And I keep it a buck. Sure, IGN, because they got a big presence. Go look at some of the numbers of some of the downloads and impressions of some of the other people. It's more the independent people than the media people.
That is wild.
Yeah.
That is wild. Yeah, just overall, I just want to say thank you to everybody that had been supportive and been, you know, hitting us up online throughout the year. You know, again, and I am not BSing. This is something that I have a really good feeling about next year. Next year is going to be a very big year for us. All I'm going to say is be on the lookout to after a whole 2025. I'm putting my energy. I'm manifesting this too. We are going. People are going to be talking about us with the stuff that is going to come out with GTR in the future. I can't wait. I think it's going to be good. And look, Ferris, look, I'm telling you guys, it's a big year. A big year for GTR. Mark my words. Clip this. It's going to be a big year. Anything else, Paris, from your side before we wrap it up?
No, I think that's it. I look forward to 2025. It's going to be, as you said, an interesting year.
Very interesting year. All right, everyone. Thank you so much. Shout out to Pete and also my wife, Rihanna. We were planning to, you know, to create more content next year. And be on the lookout. Be on the lookout for more stuff of GTR. And also, please subscribe, post your comments. If you have us on Spotify, and this has been an experiment, by the way, guys. I forgot to mention this. It's been an experiment, but I've also been posting video on Spotify, so you guys could watch it. Because I know people say that they've been watching videos through their Xbox console using Spotify. So I was like, oh, that's cool. So you could do audio or video. You could choose whatever you want. But yeah, let us know your thoughts about that. And thank you, everyone, for listening to it. And that's about it. Until next time, Happy New Year. Happy holidays. We are out. Take care. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.